Okay, I want to take us to, I'm going to tell you the story of 2 Chronicles 20 to start. And I think I'm going to tell it to you because God interrupted where I was going, what I put in the secret place, what I would be sharing. It pretty much in the same kind of genre, but this is very specific because this word of praise, and it's even the reason we put the clip up that these little YouTube, Instagram videos where Cam and I are putting out to encourage, but we will put it out because God has really made a point of something. So let me pray, because I feel right now in the name of Jesus, it's time to listen to the Lord. And Brian, you can just follow me. I don't know that I'll read through all this. I'm not sure. Father, in Jesus' name, the Spirit of God is so strong in this room, and I know so present in every room. I saw you coming. Even as we were worshiping, I saw you in our in our living rooms. I saw you in our coming out of our devices and celebrating with us. I saw the Spirit of God pouring into the place we stood and causing faith to rise and praise to erupt. Lord God, I do desire to be accurate by the Spirit of God. Holy Spirit, help me to bring the truth forward in a fashion, a story that you can illustrate with your demonstration of your Holy Spirit and power, and then unlock the call, the great opportunity that's in front of us to turn and see what looks to be for our death and destruction and displacement to become our life, our redemption, and our putting us into the new place. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so the Passover. And prior to the Passover, and all this year, we've been moving back to Jesus on purpose, returning and rest. We're salvation, quietness and confidence. We're finding strength. We came into this pandemic. It upended everything that anyone knew. And now all of a sudden, Jesus stood forefront, and he was the one of power. And he gave me that decree early on that if there was a struggle, we would follow the example of Solomon's prayer, which was, Lord, when a man knows his own burden and knows his own grief and he comes to you, then hear, see, heal. Because what God wanted was each of us to be able to come alive in him again. So then the decree goes out, in health and in wealth you shall come forward. And then the Passover lamb. And there was a breaker. Something's happened that has now shifted everything. It's not yet apparent, and I don't think everyone's seeing it and probably won't be talking about it. And things maybe get worse before they get better. But I'm telling you, right now, we have an opportunity to step in. Jehoshaphat was a man that loved God. I'm just going to tell the story, Brian, so we don't keep up with the verses. And while he was king, Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, three nations that originated with partnership in Abraham. Ammon and Ammon and Moab were both nations that had come out of Job and his daughters, out of crises. They had a connection of protection that God always valued them because of Abraham, but they also had jealousy and envy and really were out of place, didn't know how to hold their place. So what happens is they, along with Mount Seir is Edom. Edom is Esau, the brother of Jacob. The three of them and their jealousies throughout time in different places, they would come in pride and they would try to displace Israel from their inheritance. And this is what was happening. So they come, and Jehoshaphat hears about it, and he's totally panicked, and rightly so. So he sets himself to seek the Lord. He begins to pray, and he calls for a fast. And all of Jerusalem and all of Judea, they all gather together at the temple. The temple is a place where God had set his name. And as Solomon had prayed, he had promised that in times of crisis, if you turned there to pray and brought the issues of your own heart, that God would respond and hear from heaven and forgive and heal the land. And so he was. They were in this posture. Jehoshaphat does a masterful covenant prayer. A covenant prayer is something that we bring to God the truth of who he is. He begins by telling God how powerful he is. He begins to tell him, are you not the one who sits in heaven and does anything? Are you not the one who is, you are not the Lord, verse 6, who God in heaven, you rule over the kingdoms of the nations, and in your hand there's not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you. The masterful covenant prayer he prays is to tell God who he is, to tell God how powerful he is. He exalts God. Are you not God who drove out the inhabitants from before the land of Israel and gave it to your descendants? Then he speaks toward what God did for them, the covenant he made. You gave the land to your descendants of Abraham, your friend forever. Then he calls back to the focus of the sanctuary. And they dwelt there, and they built you a sanctuary in your name. And you said, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, and we stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, you will hear and save. So first, God is great. Exalt the Lord. Now, we are a people of covenant that have been brought to a place you gave us, and now we have a place of connection that we built to which we could call upon your name. And now, here's the problems. State the facts. There's a people of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. God has restrained the body of Christ. We are called to walk in love. We are called to forgive. We are called not to rise up and take our own strength and resource. We're called to be meek. We're called to walk in humility and lowliness and forbearance. And because of our Christ relationship, there are many places where we do not override or take advantage of, or try to take, to shift the circumstance in our favor. Sometimes that just works out really wonderful, and it creates goodwill all over the place. Sometimes our enemies come, and they look at the moment and think, we can take them, we can take them. Just like Egypt went after Israel through the Red Sea. They were driven by lust to try to take more than to allow them to be free to go to worship. So here they are. They're saying, we're stuck. You've restrained our hand. You told us we couldn't invade them or take them out, and now they're coming to displace us. They're rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you've given us to inherit. Masterful prayer. Why is that masterful? Because everything is God's possession. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Whatever I carry as an inheritance is his possession. So we placed it back to God. Oh, our God, will you not judge them? You're the one who can. You can set things in order. We have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do. But our eyes are upon you. I love that. We don't have any power against what is happening over the earth right now. And we don't really know what to do. And even if we did, we probably can't do it. But our eyes are upon you. And that posture, that covenant prayer, caught the attention. I will hear from heaven. I will see, I'll hear. And now all of Judah, their little ones, wives, children, they all stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph in the midst of the assembly. The great, great grandson of Asaph, who was in charge of the worship in the tabernacle of David, the Spirit of the Lord comes and he says, listen, all of you Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and you King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord, to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. To be afraid is to be terrified, to be brought into fear. To be dismayed is to have an emotional breakdown, to lose your place, to just lose your confidence, to break down. And he says, don't go there. So Cammie and I have been talking about one of the things God's doing is he's creating stamina back into the living body to press in, to press beyond, to touch the hem of his garment, to receive the blessing that he has. So he says, don't be afraid. Why? The battle is not yours. It's God. Now, tomorrow I'll go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz. You'll find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Now here comes strategy. Heaven's now downloading through a prophetic voice. Position yourself. Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Very key. I want to just establish this because what we're going to do this week, we're going to do it in a little bit. There's going to come a new power and a breakthrough. But first, we've got to see this. We've got to make an adjustment in our own posture. And then we'll step into this and the miracles will happen for us. So he says, position yourself means it's set yourself. And then stand means to hold yourself in that new place and see. You have to see salvation. You see the outcome. I am seeing health and wealth. I'm not seeing sickness, and I'm not seeing poverty. Now, I see it all over the place, but I can see in the Lord health and wealth. You'll see the salvation of the Lord. And let me just tell you who the Lord is. His name is Jesus. I will see the salvation of Jesus. Stand still. Position yourself. Stand. See the salvation of Jesus. And because you know the story, and we're going to get to the end real quickly, you know how you see salvation? You sing it. Mm-hmm. You sing it. Praise is to faith as complaint is to unbelief. You want to measure your faith? How's your praise? You want to increase your faith? Raise your praise. When you raise his praise raises us. So he's now just speaking. This is what's going to happen. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Tomorrow you go out against them. You don't have to. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. His salvation in the Lord, in Judah, in praise. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head. Well, there's a time for humility right now. Our future is not in what we have, what we don't have, what's been taken from us. It's all in the Lord. You come into him. That's why we're learning this, how to come into Christ and bring the ones we love into Christ. And live from there and become one with the truth of who Christ is and who we are in Christ. He bowed his head and face and worshiped to the ground. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed down to the Lord. They worshiped God. They were just worshiping God. Then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites. These were the Levites who were in charge of taking the articles, the holy articles from the Ark of the Covenant to the showbread table to the lampstand and in the movement of the tabernacle of Moses. And then they became the praisers, the worshipers who worshiped night and day during the tabernacle of David and into Solomon's reign when he built the temple. And so they stand up, they engage, and they start shouting with loud praise, and they're praising. So they rose early then in the morning and went into the wilderness of Tekoa. As they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me. And that's what I'm doing right now. This, if you can hear me. Hear me. Hear me, O Judah. Hear me, O Jubilee. Hear me, body of the living Jesus. You inhabitants of Jerusalem, the people who are called to hold their place in the earth, believe in the Lord and your God, and you shall be established. Literally, put confidence in the one who is faithful, and you will have confidence and faith. You believe in the Lord God, and you will believe. Believe his prophets, and you will prosper. You will advance. Hear this promise. Step into this instruction. Move intentionally, and you're going to see advancement. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness, and they went out before the army. So he's telling them, faith, hold your place. We've been given instruction. Then he tells, this is how we're going to do it. We're going to put God first. I'm telling you, put God first. Put him first in your day. Put him first in your praise. Put him first in your best of your time. Give him praise. Give him, get engaged. Come into faith. Find your place. And then get a hold of him. And then exalt him. Because exaltation of Jesus Christ brings mercy into our lives. So they went before the army. He said, we're going to put the worship. God said he's going to fight, so we're going to put worship first. We're going to put praise first. We're going to raise the praise. So they went before saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. This is the psalm. This is the chorus line of the first song that David gave to Asaph to be sung in the tabernacle. This is God's favorite chorus. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now watch, when they began to sing and to praise, when they began to sing and praise, when they began, not before, but when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, who had come against Judah as they were defeated. They're marching from Jerusalem. They can't see Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir. They're in En Gedi. That's down by the Dead Sea. They are going through the hill country on their way, and they're singing, Lord, praise the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. And when they began to sing miles away, all of a sudden, Ammon, Moab, who were brothers, looked at Mount Seir with suspicion and wondered if they should allow them, or they got offended, or they broke apart, and their alliance just started to crumble. There are things happening on the earth that are huge right now. Huge, monumental shifts taking place. Monumental shifts. And what is required of the people of God? Sing his praise. Sing his praise. Because what happens is once they come into this suspicion, their alliance, their allegiance breaks apart. And Ammon and Mount Moab, they attack Mount Seir. And once they killed off all of Mount Seir, they now have a rage against one another and they kill everybody. So when Judah came to the place overlooking the wilderness, verse 24, please, they looked toward the multitude. So finally they get over the hills up and down. They finally get to the outlook place and all they see are dead bodies. All they would fall on the earth. Not one had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, they found among them an abundance of valuables on dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. Moab, Ammon, Mount Seir were coming to drive Israel out of the inheritance of God, to take it for themselves. And they figured they'd bring their wealth with them, having no idea that because Judah turned its face toward God and listened and came back into covenant and faith, and then were given promise and began to praise, that God would turn it around and give to Israel the inheritance of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. 3 days. We have to shift. We have to see salvation. 3 days collecting the spoil. And on the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Barakah, which means blessing. And they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name is blessing. They didn't forget God. They didn't just rush to the spoil and, oh, they're giving God again the blessing. And then they returned every man to Judah and Jerusalem with Jehoshaphat in front of them to go back to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. And boy, were they singing. They came to Jerusalem with stringed instruments, harps, trumpets to the house of God. So they came back from where they began. They connected. They got the victory. Now they're coming back with the rejoicing and the triumph. The redeemed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. Now I want to talk to you really quickly about something that I think we can all shift hearts toward. In Exodus 15, chapter 2, it says, the Lord is my strength, my song, and become my salvation. The Lord is my, I will sing, I will praise God, and my Father's God, I will exalt him. And the reason he says that, can you turn that off or, you know, just blank my screen, please? Because I keep looking at the words, and I want to look at you. So here he is. And literally means that when I sing of his strength, his salvation appears. When I sing of his strength, his salvation appears. And when I praise him, I make a place for him. And he's my Father's God. So I bring back all of the inheritance of my past into my future by exalting him. Psalm 106 has the storyline between this song of Moses in Exodus 15, which is the song sung after Israel had witnessed Egypt being utterly removed and destroyed. And that song of Moses that is sung is a prophetic sound. It's a movement. And it says in Psalm 106, they reflect back on that. In Psalm 106, I'm going to pull up just a couple verses because they were absolutely powerful to me. And they're all in the same chapter. Psalm 106, it says in verse 12, then they believed his words. You can put these back up. Then they believed his words, they sang his praise. They believed his words, they sang his praise. They believed his words, they sang his praise. Okay? But they soon forgot his works, and they did not wait for his counsel. So what happens is now it's time finally to go into Israel, to go into the promised land. And they send the 12 spies, and 10 come back with a negative report. They all had a positive about the future prospects of the land. But 10 got freaked out by the giants that were imposing against them. There's giants in the land right now. Giants of fear. Giants of panic. The praise is about to rout. We need to join in the praise of the victory. I've got good news for you. Jesus Christ already conquered COVID-19. He's not even needing to deal with it. He dealt with it. It is all diseases have been taken from us. He has resolved all conflict. By his stripes, we were healed, past, present, and future. Sin, sickness, disease, and death have all been dealt with in Christ. And all we have to do is put our faith back in there, lift him up in that victory, and soon we find ourselves fully vested, fully vetted into the victory. So what it happens, though, is they're looking at a promised land, but they're overwhelmed by the circumstance. They see a promised land, overwhelmed by the circumstance. Look at the circumstance so long, they become grasshoppers. They freak out. They say, we're going home. So in verse 24, they despise the pleasant land. They said, no, it's not worth it to me. They did not believe his word, but complained in his tents and did not heed the voice of the Lord. This is Hebrews 3, Hebrews 4. There's so much in this. But let me just simply say this, because we need to start praying. They believed his word. They sang his praise. They did not believe his word, complained in their tents. Now, we're all sitting around. What are we doing? Are we complaining? If we are complaining, it's because unbelief is taking hold of our hearts. And if that's not a condemnation, it's a chance to repent. It's a chance to turn away from the unbelief that makes complaints. You see, we fault find. And right now, Cammie's seeing and I'm seeing, there are things that are happening that need the praises of God's people exalting the glorious Jesus Christ. I give him praise, not because my day is great, because my God is great. I praise him not because everything is good, but because he is good. If I will but praise him, I will release the voice of God in my life. He does, because God heard the sound of them. He heard the sound of their complaints, and he made a decision. You're not coming in. And we know that. That's why today if we hear his voice, do not harden our heart. So the beautiful thing is that when we praise, we create a place for God to sit on a judgment throne and begin to bring forth his vengeance, his recompense, his salvation, his rewards, and the work before him. We actually place him as the only one who is justified and capable of advancing the future, and especially his beloved church. If we disengage and we go inward and we complain and we don't argue with newscasters, don't watch too much stuff, stay your eyes on Jesus. Remember, position yourself. Stand still. See salvation in Jesus Christ in praise. That's literally what that verse meant in 2 Chronicles. And once you start doing that, the way you see is you sing. Oh, well, you don't have to have a perfect voice. You can sing with speaking, but you start praising. But we have to repent. Dear Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I repent on my behalf. I know I'm a complainer, a murmur. I know at times I just sit there and, oh, I get to get all caught up in the flesh, and what's wrong, what's not working, what's going to happen. I worry. And rather than humbling myself and bringing the burden to you, I just start looking around and pointing the finger and speaking wickedness. And I go around and I think other people ought to do this, not do that. I argue with this. Lord, I repent. I bring you the burden of my heart. I bring you the leprosy of my own unbelief. And I bring you my own grief. And I repent. I have never seen you so prophetically on my life in the last 3 months, this now being the fourth month, where you have just said one thing after another just keeps building and confirming. I repent. You want to bring the greatest move of God in the history of the world, and we're here complaining. Complaining about this, complaining about that. We ask your forgiveness. It's not the complaint. If we bring it to you and honestly process in faith, you'll deal with anything we have to say, but you will not listen to a murmuring people who don't believe you. So we repent. It's the unbelief. Complaining is a symptom of unbelief, just as praise is a fruit of faith. So we want to change. I want to come out of unbelief and into faith. I want to come out of complaint into praise. And I believe with all my heart you have said it in such a strong way. You want to displace the breath that is stealing the breath of man by breathing upon your living church the breath of life. And it's coming alive in praise. So we turn now. We stand. Would you stand with me? If you can stand up, stand up. As a posture right now. Out of unbelief, I step. And into faith, I return. In rest. And I stand. And I look. And I see Jesus. I see Jesus. The author, the finisher of my faith. COVID-19 is but a shadow of death because he has conquered death. And the only thing a shadow of death can do is freak us out or inflict its destruction by our being swept in the midst of it. But if we will walk with the Lord, his rod, his staff, they comfort and they prevail and they bring us into a place of breakthrough and blessing. So we believe you, Lord. We want to move from this convoluted, conflicting soul moment back into an agreement with you. So we stand, we see, and we begin to decree salvation in Jesus Christ with praise. Now, while you're standing, I want you to begin to see you're coming out of this in health and in wealth. You're coming into the future. God is going to change the world. He right now has placed China in a transitional moment to which we need to keep our prayers strong on China because it's in a balance. He's bringing a regime change into Iran, and he's going to bring an awakening into Ethiopia. These are just things the Lord said to me, so I figure I'll just say them out loud. But he's doing, in the macro, he's doing in the micro, he's reshifting, recollecting. He's moving us from the resource of the past to the resource of the future, eternal life in Jesus Christ. And we can begin to say, we can begin to sing. We can begin to say, the Lord is my strength, my song. We begin to pray, make a place for him. So as you stand, as you see, and as you decree the salvation that is ours in Christ, we're going to just say what David said so long ago. I rejoice. I give thanks to you, Lord. You're good. Your mercy endures forever. I give thanks to you, Lord. You're good. Fill your house with praise right now. Begin to use your mouth and begin to allow the sound of praise to come. You are good. Your mercy endures forever. We give thanks to you, Lord, for you are good. Let's just engage in praise for a few moments before the Lord begins to come with power. Because as we sing, as we begin to sing, the Lord will set the ambushes of that which is trying to displace us out of our inheritances.
You're the God who goes before.
Yes, Lord.
And you open every door to victory.
Yes, you are.
You're the God who never fails.
Yes, Lord.
You're my Savior who prevails over the enemy.
You are. Agree. Make these your words. Declare them back. To say them. You
You're
are.
You're the God who goes before.
Yes, Lord.
And you open every door to victory.
Every door. Open. See it. Future. Family relationships. Health. Wealth. Open doors.
You're
revival.
You're the God who never fails. You're my Savior who prevails over the enemy.
You have and will and always shall.
Oh, his mercy.
We praise you. You're perfect. You're good.
Praise the
we praise
Lord,
you, Lord. Let his presence begin to invade your home, your circumstances of life, the uncertainties of the future. Let him fill them. Come, come, Lord. Praise the Lord. Sing with us. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, for he is good and his mercy.
His mercies answer everything.
Oh, mercy
everything.
Endures.
Anything.
Praise the Lord. For
you are good.
Is
you are good.
And his mercy endures forever.
Now we'll sing it to him. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord, for your good. Turn it as close as you can into his face. Sing to him. I praise you, Lord. You are good.
And your mercy endures. Oh, your mercy.
Oh, it overwhelms the economy, overwhelms our circumstance.
Praise you, Lord.
Yes.
You are good. And your mercy endures.
Whoa.
Forever.
Now, the Lord is saying to me right now that there are a number of you, myself included, that are being receiving a mantle of praise. Isaiah 60 says that, 61 says that he will give us a mantle of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness. What heaviness would mean in today's vernacular? Depression, overwhelmingness, dismay, breaking down. And I see him, the angels of the Lord who perform the words given voice to are even exchanging mantles. They're coming and taking off. It's like a weighted feeling of dread. It's like you wake up in dread, you go through the day in dread, and God's just taking it off and putting right on there a mantle of praise. And praise is strength. Praise causes inhabitation of God because he dwells in the houses of those who praise. He says he sets his throne on the heads of his worshipers. And I release that right now. If you want that, if that's stirring in your heart, not because you have the faith for it, but because you're in this situation of the dismay and the depression, then receive it. In Jesus' name, mantle of praise, come upon the living body of Jesus Christ. Clothe us so that we might war with worship. We might raise your praise and in your praise be raised in Jesus' name. There's a healing. There's multiple healings. We've had healings reported through our services. Had eyes made whole, stomach conditions made whole just from this last week. And I see there's a miracle. It's eyes again. There's a miracle with eyes, eyesight, and spiritual eyesight. You've wanted to see again the things you saw before. And oh, yes, revelation, 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 revelation. The eyes of our heart are being enlightened to know what is the hope of his calling, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and the surpassing greatness of his power. Yeah, and there's might coming. Power, might. You're going to come out of this. I prophesy this to about everyone. We're coming out of this stronger than we ever were before, whole, healed, delivered, and rich, more so than we ever were before. That may not make sense to those things don't have to make sense. You see, we don't have faith according to what we have. We have faith according to who God is. We don't have faith according to what people are saying. We have faith according to what God is saying. Yes, yes. There is on the left side, there ligaments, legs, injuries, and on the right arm there's a healing going on. There's a rash that started developing, whether it would be like hives or something, and God's saying it's going. You're healed in Jesus' name. You're healed. You're healed in Jesus' name. You're healed. You're healed. Doors are opening that no man will shut. Job opportunities. Some who have lost work are coming into a better place. You will look back and go, God, I thought I was going to be removed from the planet. Instead, I'm reaping a reward. I never had an idea that was coming. That which came to destroy us is going to yield its riches to us. Hashibohoka. There's something strong happening right now as we praise the Lord. As we praise the Lord. What do you want Him to do for you? See salvation in Jesus and sing. See salvation in Jesus and sing. Let's sing one more time. Praise the Lord. You are good.
You're the God who goes before.
You do.
And you open every door to victory.
Un día María yo saí yo. Un día la mayoría yo soy.
You're the God who never fails.
Yes, you are.
You're my Savior who prevails.
Yes, you do.
Over the enemy.
Yes, you do, Lord. Yes, you do, Lord. Yes, you do. Oh, yeah, it is.
You're the God who goes before. And you open every door
yes.
to victory.
Can you see it? That's your future. Our future is Jesus. We only can go into His
You're
victory.
You're the God who never fails.
Yes.
You're my Savior who prevails
yes.
over the enemy.
You have. You have triumphed. You have overcome.
And yes. His mercy will endure.
Yes, your
mercy.
Your
mercy will endure.
Yes, Lord.
Praise the Lord for you
are good.
And your mercy will endure forever.
Forever, forever. Do you see?
Praise you, Lord, for you
Make Jesus big. We exalt Jesus Christ. He is greater than COVID-19. He's greater than any economic crisis. He has more resource than all of the upheaval. He wants to bring hope, and we are the hope mouthpiece through praise. We begin to change the atmosphere. Your home will be a house of prayer for your neighbors, and our hearts will be a house of prayer for a home for Jesus Christ to dwell by faith. And we have been placed in a new place to take occupation, to lay hold of it. Worship establishes the reign. War tries to displace who rules and with it put a new one in. Panic is time to yield to praise. Panic is time to yield to praise. We don't try to fight panic. We just turn our attention to Jesus and we start singing. You're good. We start speaking. We start exalting. We start declaring. I'm telling you, if I've heard anything, this is the Lord. This is the Lord for all of us because there's such monumental shifts taking place. And it's also that the kingdom of God takes over the earth in a whole nother expression that we've never seen before. Could not happen unless all of this happened. And all it requires in you and I not to lose our place is to praise Him. Hold our place, stand, see, sing salvation in Jesus Christ. Sing Jesus Christ is salvation. Sing it over your money. Sing it over your children. Sing it over your house. Sing it over your nation. Sing it over your neighborhood. Sing it over the nations. We declare Jesus Christ is salvation. He alone saves, heals, delivers, and He is doing so right now. We do not need to know how, we just know who. We know who. He, Jesus Christ, Lord, saves as we sing His praise. He sets the ambush.
You are good, and your mercy will endure. Your mercy will endure.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
I praise you, Lord, for you are good, and your mercy will endure
mercy.
Forever.
Mercy will. The Lord is healing and delivering. He's redeeming. He's putting things in right place. There's some concerns over pregnancies that are now being resolved, that you need not live in the fear or anticipation of dread, but to anticipate good. There are relationships that are being restored, not through dialogue, but through surrender, intimacy, humility. There's hearts changing. Things that you thought needed to be hashed out are just being healed, just being forgiven. I see a massive amount of forgiveness flowing in the body of Jesus Christ. There's harshness in the earth. We don't need to go there. Go into Jesus Christ. Begin to speak in forgiveness. The neighborhood is going to be full of peace and joy. Christ is going to reign. Oh, beloved, take everyone you love into the presence of Jesus Christ. Get there you're first. Establish yourself in Christ and bring those you love, and then bring the body of Christ until we are one body growing up into Him who is the head, ministering the love of God and growing up edifying. I want us to shift now. We're going to move to prayer. Oh, prayer for the nations. We're having fun praying into the nations that God's given us to pray for, to love, to care for, to our neighborhoods and our hearts. Lord, I thank you that you want to bring water to the earth, rain to California, the baptism of the Holy Spirit to Southern California. You want to heal our country. You want to bring the movement where life shifts and nations change. Thank you for everyone. We can bring our nations together with Melanie and Larry as they pray into the nations of this month. We can chat and send our nations and get them prayed for. And we declare now in Jesus' name that you will be glorified, not just in our heart and not just in our home, but in our neighborhoods and in our nations, in Jesus' name. We love you. Can't wait to talk with you, be with you together on Wednesday. We are in it. Raise the praise, because in His praise, He'll raise us.